Brian Cochran. Brian, always looking forward to our time. Always an education for me.
Yeah, and there's always something new for us to talk about, as I often say. So the world of money and finance, it's ever changing.
Yeah, well, with the big beautiful bill passing, I know a lot of, you know, you hear so many different things from so many different people and so many different sides. It's hard to know what is really there. And I can't imagine there's more than a handful of people who've read all the thousands of pages that went with it. However, if I'm looking for someone who's probably got a good pulse on the things we need to know, it's you. What can you tell us?
Yeah, my initial kind of broad takeaway, Steve, is that I'm pretty excited about it when I look at how it might impact the tax liabilities for the families we serve. And the reason I say that is that we use a tax planning software where we can upload a client's tax return and then manipulate it to see how different changes might impact their tax liability. And the providers of that software were very quick to implement the changes. They were basically tracking the changes as they were proposed. So we already have software that can help us understand the exact impact or the approximate impact for the families we serve by looking at their average income and then seeing how the provisions might impact them. And my initial takeaway, Steve, is that for our very high income folks, for example, I was running a scenario for a married couple that earns over $800,000 a year. They save about $500 of taxes under the new provisions, which is about 0.2% of their tax liability. So they'll save $500, pay $215,000 of federal income tax. But when I look at a single retired woman we serve, who's about $55,000 of income, she's going to save about $1,200 of her federal tax liability, which is more than 1/4 of her federal taxes are going away thanks to some of the provisions. So I see the benefit hitting the folks that can use it most, at least in my initial projections and assumptions. And I'm encouraged by that.
Yeah, and I think it would behoove all of us to slow down in what we take as fact from the rhetoric we're hearing from others in regards to it, both ways. I mean, there's not much more I can do about the big, beautiful bill other than the time I spent in the election booth the last time anyone that had any part of this that I had opportunity, you know, to be a part of voting for. Other than that, it's kind of, you know, strap in, hold on, and let's see where we go. Now, I think that was a good example of how the typical family, in a pretty big range there, you know, 55,000 to 800,000. What are some other things that, you know, maybe not too far off before we feel the impact of this bill?
Yeah, well, many of the provisions go into effect here in 2025. So it won't take long for folks to see the benefits. You know, there was a lot of talk about no tax on tips, no tax on overtime. So within certain limits, that's what's happening. There's basically a deduction of your income that's earned in those manners of taxes, or excuse me, tips and overtime. And again, there's phase outs to that. So if I'm, you know, let's say my income's high, let's say if I made $500,000 a year, but my spouse worked in a job with tips or overtime, we actually won't benefit from that deduction against tips and overtime because there's phase outs to that. So these are really designed to really target the middle income households. Most of the phase outs hit for single people about 150 in income and married couples with 300,000 or more of income. They won't really get the full benefits. But again, that sort of middle class to upper middle class household is going to see these benefits. So the biggest beneficiaries I've seen so far, Steve, is seniors. So people 65 and older get an extra deduction against their income. The tips, the overtime, starting next year, you will not have to itemize your deductions to get $1,000 of charitable deduction if you're single, or $2,000 if you're married. So that'll help more people benefit from their charitable giving when it comes to their taxes. You can deduct interest on your car loan. So many folks who need a reliable car and have to take a loan to get it, they can now deduct that interest against their income, even if they don't itemize. So I'm just seeing all sorts of areas here where that middle class individual or family is going to love this bill.
Can you alleviate any of the fear that people are getting from listening to others that may have inaccurately reflected parts of the bill that have to do with Medicare or you already touched a little on seniors, but Social Security and other areas that people regularly having an opinion on.
Yeah, you mentioned Medicare. It's really Medicaid that's most impacted. And the issue there that's been promoted is that millions of people will die due to lack of health care as Medicaid is sort of pulled back. And there's a couple things I would say there, just based on my understanding, is most of the folks who are going to lose Medicaid access are either going to be folks who are not U.S. citizens, which you can have different opinions on that, but I don't know that we design our social safety net programs for non-citizens. So you have U.S. citizens, non-U.S. citizens won't get care. And then the folks who are able-bodied, so if you can work, but you're not working, you have to work at least 20 hours a week or more to keep access to your Medicaid benefits. So it could push people back into the workforce. And what I would say about that is a lot of people are fretting about that, but one of the greatest reductions in poverty we've seen over the last 50 years happened in the late 90s. And that's because they did welfare reform that required work. And so what you found is it forced people to work. And then once you start to work, you start to see a lot of ripple effects into how your personal finances might improve. So we saw millions of Americans lifted out of poverty by actually removing their social safety net benefits if they weren't working. So it helps transition people back into the workforce. And we've got about 7.5 million job openings right now in the country. So we have opportunities for folks who need to go back to work. And I don't think it's an act of cruelty or lack of care. I think it's actually working in the best interest of those folks who might be on Medicaid if you're encouraging them to reengage in the workforce and then improve their economic situation accordingly.
Well, as we mentioned at the top of this, there's thousands of pages that cover everything in the bill. And we, I'm sure, won't cover all of that in this segment or an upcoming segment where we'll be spending a full hour kind of diving into it. But Brian, in the meantime, is there other resources you'd aim people at to find out more about this bill?
We just recorded about 15-minute video that helps break down some of the key provisions. So you might be able to watch that and see where it might apply to your circumstances based on your age and how you earn your income. And if you meet any of the income phase outs or thresholds, we're hoping to have that live here later today. So if that's on the website at johnmoore.com, look at the insights tab. We'll try to get that up as soon as possible. And we have to go through some compliance hoops before we post any content like that. So we're rushing to get it done. That'll be our initial look. And then I look forward to studying it more. And then, like you said, in that full hour, we can dive a little deeper.
All right. Well, Brian, always appreciate your time and the work you and your team put into the content for this segment, as well as the area of the website at johnmoore.com. We routinely aim people at that is the insights tab. Watch for that content there. Brian, appreciate your time. Have a great weekend and we'll catch up again soon.
All right. You take care, Steve.
All right, and thank you for listening to ABQ Connect.